Hey, there are a lot of things that are happening in Indy regularly. Awards, summits, conferences, and get-togethers. Well, we're talking about innovation in Indiana today on the show, but we're also talking about innovation outside the Indy area. There's a lot of talk about what's going on throughout Indiana, and we're focused on Johnson County and what's happening with their growth and awareness goals for their tourism. So we're talking innovation in Indiana and tourism and startups all today on The Edge.
Your audio and video source featuring Indianapolis tech trends, marketing industry champions, and business innovation. This is Edge of Indy. Broadcasting from Edge Media Studios. Let's get today's conversation started.
Well, welcome back to Edge of Indy. Hey, we really welcome you back on the live stream on a regular basis. We're live streaming Facebook. We're Edgecasting Facebook. And just to tell you what Edgecasting is, we are certainly incorporating social commentary on the Facebook channel, and we want to bring our audience into the production. So as we interview our guests, we certainly appreciate all comments, and we'll bring them to them. You can rest assured. So jump on the stream as you can. Thanks for listening to Edge of Indy as well. To our podcast listeners, let's tell you what Edge of Indy is all about. We're focused on local Indianapolis and Indiana entrepreneurs and innovators, movers and shakers in the space. We also feature people and organizations that are helping make Indianapolis an awesome place to live, work, and visit. We focus on the mantra here: choosing local and choosing local often. That's what Edge of Indy is all about. So thanks so much for joining us. In the studio, we have Brittany Simpson, onboarding and outreach manager of Site Strategics. Brittany.
Hi.
How are you doing, ma'am?
Fine. How are you?
I'm good. We also have Jason Williams, executive director of Cedric Incorporated.
He just chewed on all of those.
I
words.
Did. Jason, how are you doing, sir?
Hey, doing well. Thanks for having me on today.
You are more than welcome. So we're talking about Cedric Indy. This is the concept. You're an Indianapolis-based network of resources for innovators here in Indianapolis. Well, tell us more about what Cedric is all about and what you're doing around Indy.
Yeah, so Cedric Inc. I've been around about 9 years. Uh-huh. So we are a nonprofit, like you said, based here in Indianapolis. So really, our driving mission: how do we elevate Indiana as a recognized center of innovation? Mm-hmm. And so we've been doing this for several years, really birthed out of the frustration some of the providers in the innovation space just kind of being overlooked because they are here in Indiana. So, very similar to even some of the frustrations in the tech community we see, right, of kind of that other coast or flyover country. And I think, the same exists in the innovation realm, even as far as non-tech innovation. And so we saw there was a need to really, how do we kind of connect, innovation-minded folks together from across a bunch of different industries? And so we try to accomplish that mission of better recognition for what's happening here by, again, connecting folks, but then really educating folks. So really, a place to come together to talk about best practices, teach innovation-related skills, whether it be a specific framework or tool or best practice.
Well, that's fantastic, and we are certainly honored to be able to connect with organizations such as yourself, because it's not just about bringing startups to a conference. It's really about getting them to share and finding out how best to do things. And we know we have great relationships with organizations like NX3 and Launch Fishers and Launch Indiana. All these focuses are really invested into growing that startup community, but also continued education and assurance and mentorship, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Again, you talk about that continued education piece or really workforce development piece. Yeah, I think these innovation-related skills, and you mentioned, several of these technology-focused or startup-focused groups.
Yep.
I mean, certainly as you see more and more surveys out there, CEO, C-suite surveys, even on a national scale, right, we see a lot of technical skills rising up the ranks. But equally, you're seeing a lot of these softer, what I would call innovation-related skills rising up the chart as far as creativity, critical thinking, mm-hmm. empathy, problem solving. And so these are the skills we're really trying to come in and address that, not only apply and are needed in the tech sector, but are certainly needed across all sectors and really across all departments, whether you're customer service or your brand management or your product manager or your business development, right? I mean, everyone needs to be able to think creatively and really be equipped with the tools and frameworks to do so.
Oh, that's fantastic.
You've got an event coming up on October 12th, your Day of Innovation, that's being held on the Butler campus. Mm-hmm. Can you tell us a little bit about that event and then also share with us the coupon code for Edge of Indy? I understand we have a special code we can share.
Yeah, absolutely. So, yeah, Day of Innovation is our full-day conference we put on. And so, yes, I've been talking about just how we, you know, our programming. So we do workshops throughout the year here in Central Indiana, but then we've built this full-day conference that happens in mid-October. This is our fifth year for the full-day conference. And we built this around, we also have a program called the Indiana Innovation Awards. So kind of that celebrate piece. So connect, educate, and celebrate. But we saw a need, you know, or really an opportunity to say, we do these, you know, one-off workshops, you know, every month. Hey, let's build a platform where we can do all these workshops in one day and really concentrated effort. And so this conference was born. So Day of Innovation is just that. Again, a mix of some keynote presentations, a wide variety of different workshops, breakout sessions to attend, and also these awards.
Oh, and this is a great day, and we certainly implore all the watchers and listeners of Edge of Indy, share this information, because it is a huge day of just focus on that right. Creative aspect and that and building that talent. Would you care to mention any of the speakers that are at that day that are lined up there?
Yeah, happy to. And I guess one thing we're really excited about every year is kind of the growing number of folks we're able to bring in, but also focused on the fact that, you know, we are bringing together a lot of different companies, a lot of different sectors. So, you know, locally we lean on a lot of facilitators. We have several enterprise innovators. So we've got folks from Anthem, Elanco coming in to lead some sessions and really kind of, you know, a look behind the curtains on how they do innovation. We have a lot of the local service providers. So some folks like Innovate Map, Doris Research are in there. And then our keynotes this year. Kind of the first year, a full national lineup. So we have Hannah Stein is the Senior Director of Global Insights for Mattel. So I love her elevator pitch. Her job is Tom Hanks from Big. She gets to go out and find the new toys for Barbie and Hot Wheels. We have Maria Odimaracho, is the president and founder of Entrepreneurs at Allstate up in Chicago. So really, you know, how Allstate has created a company within a company to really help innovation, but also kind of that crowdsource internally, right? How do we have kind of startup and innovation competitions within this this big corporation of Allstate? And Michael Graber is principal founder at Southern Growth Studio down in Memphis. So well-known innovation writer and speaker and thought leader out there.
You have a good memory. Yeah. That was impressive. Thank you. Well, and given the range and variety of the sectors that you just touched on, who is the ideal audience for this event? Who should really attend this event and make sure it's on their calendar and make sure they get tickets? Like, who is this intended for?
Yeah, certainly. I mean, good question. Yeah, we certainly like to say, well, it's everyone. But in reality, I think there's a certain kind of innovation-minded or open-mindedness, right? I mean, we recognize that, you know, we're not an event focused on a specific sector, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, we're not the marketing event or the technology event or the consumer products event. So, you know, it's really anyone kind of open to those, you know, innovation-related ideas, you know, not specific to their sector, but really it does boil down to a lot of the folks that I would say have some of those innovation related skills. So, you know, we see a lot of, again, the innovation design community. So, you know, someone like an Innovate Map is leading a session, but certainly these, you know, design innovation consultancies, we see a lot of those folks. Mm-hmm. We see a lot of product managers, brand managers, business development, you know, with smaller startups or nonprofits, we see a lot of your executive and decision makers. Right. But really, it's those people that are really tasked with, solving problems or coming up with the new ideas to solve those problems.
Problem solvers.
Yeah. Well, what you're doing is demonstrating by the individuals there that it's not just about, again, not particular verticals, but it's about how to approach innovation and looking at challenges, demonstrating the challenges that they actually had in front of them, and then be able to turn around and demonstrate the discipline of creativity, right? And therein lies a particular oxymoron, is that creativity, you tend to think, hey, let's just go whiteboard ourselves to success. And that's not the case. You have to be able to have that those moments, but you also have to have the ability to conduct yourself towards those goals on a regular, in a disciplined fashion, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And I guess, you know, as far as that process, so even I see it behind us here, so the theme this year is Ready, Set, Go, and we've really built that around kind of that, you know, the steps of innovation, but really that process of, so we have a batch of ready sessions, or I mentioned, the consumer insights, this kind of trend hunting leader from Mattel, but a lot of ready sessions that have to do with that, call it front end of innovation. So we have several sessions focused on, observation methods to get out and understand problems that from your end users, your consumers.
Yeah, there it is.
How do you just identify problems in the marketplace that need solved would be some of those tracks. Set is really kind of the nuts and bolts of innovation. So we have, some sessions on rapid prototyping. We have sessions on, kind of the lean sprints.
Mm-hmm.
And really here's a framework to follow to allow your team to innovate. And then Go is kind of all about implementing that. And so we have some sessions kind of focused around, how do you implement a culture of innovation, right? How do you kind of rally your team? We have actually two different firms kind of focused on place or design, the physical design. Mm-hmm. So how do you kind of design an office space or physical environment that helps spur innovation?
Hmm.
Kristen Cooper from the Startup Ladies will be joining us, really talking about how a diverse workforce and a diverse environment helps spur innovation. Mm-hmm. So again, all kind of following that Ready, Set, Go theme to really, spark innovation.
Anything about bacon? And the inclusion of bacon into
Sure we have something with bacon in it, sir, at lunch. And if not, I will make sure that
it's an inspiring thing.
Yeah,
and there needs to be more meat creativity
more
in the
bacon.
Workplace.
Yeah, there absolutely does need to be more bacon. We are happy to partner with the good folks at Nameless Catering, and I think Jeremy's been on here before, so
yeah.
I will make sure that there are some maybe bacon flights. We'll do some bacon flights.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Yes.
What?
All the bacons. So let's talk. There you go, everybody.
He's hungry. Sorry, everyone.
So you have some really great sponsors for the event. Would you mind recognizing a few here today?
Yeah, absolutely. Certainly like any organization, right, especially a nonprofit, we wouldn't be able to do this without the help of our sponsors. So first and foremost, I want to thank Butler University.
Cool.
And the Lacey School of Business over at Butler. They've been a strong partner of ours for several years now, obviously hosting in addition to helping support the ongoing events and just our growth throughout the year.
Mm-hmm.
Eli Lilly, Fager Baker Daniels are two strong partners of ours
cool.
across the year. RJE Business Interiors, Gixie Digital Marketing, and there's several folks that are coming in to really help us ramp up towards this event and then build towards further growth next year.
Oh, beautiful.
As far as becoming a member of Centric, can you give us that protocol and how the process works and why people should become a member?
Yeah, absolutely. So yeah, we do have memberships available. So it's on the Centric site, really launched that into 2017 as far as joining memberships. And really, it's just a way, again, bringing together a lot of corporate folks, right? It's a way to help, buy into the season mm-hmm. up front and be in that pipeline for what's yep. coming out. And so we do have a membership page up now for 2018 on the website. But I also acknowledge that we are certainly not membership only, right? I mean, we have any of our workshops are open to the public for a nominal fee.
Mm-hmm.
And so there, we certainly encourage you to take a look at all the upcoming workshops.
Yep. Your team also spearheads the Indiana Innovation Awards,
right.
which the winners were literally just announced within the last couple of days.
Mm-hmm.
And we wanted to shout out one of the winners, my dear friends at Garden Party Botanical Hard Soda. Shout out to my friends there. They mm-hmm. won one of the awards, which I think is incredible.
Yeah.
And if memory serves, it was the only female-owned winner.
I believe this year, yeah.
I believe
was.
That's yep. true. So yep. good job, friends. I'm
Absolutely.
Proud of you. Can you talk more about those awards and kind of your insight into those and the winners?
Yeah. So, thanks for mentioning the awards. We're 7 years into the awards. And as I mentioned, the conference, we kind of built into that around the awards. But as we were starting to pull folks together for these meetups, if you will, for these monthly workshops, we realized, okay, we have this connect and educate piece, but
mm-hmm.
kind of that third piece that was missing from, hey, doing our job to shine a spotlight in Indiana is really that celebrate piece or, literally just shining that spotlight. How do we just brag on what's happening here? And so we realized there was an opportunity to create this awards program that didn't just focus on the company or the people, but really focused on the output, right? What are the new innovations? What are the new solutions that are out there in the marketplace And again, you know, reflecting Centric as a whole, right? Cross sector, there's no categories. You know, we've had everything from sodas to the orangutan exhibit at the zoo. We had a shrimp farm outside of Lafayette, Indiana.
Huh.
We've had some agricultural folks. We've had software and tech, consumer products. At Delta Faucet's been in the pipeline. So it's been awesome
there.
Too.
There was a pun there. Did you catch that? Delta Faucet in the pipeline.
Oh,
yeah. There. I meant that. That was intended. But yeah, so it's been exciting to help uncover and really tell the stories of some of these companies, and certainly we've seen some of the winners, obviously known entities, but others, like a garden party, right? I mean, really just kind of starting to really be known, certainly outside of Indiana. Another great batch of winners. We had 48 finalists that our judges went into looking, and this year's applicants came from as far north as Gary and as far south as Evansville. So really covering the state. We had, I think it was 15 different counties that we saw applications from this year.
Well, you know my favorite winner.
Yeah.
So let's talk about innovation here in Indianapolis.
Yeah.
How would you describe our local innovators, and what is your take on the level of innovation that's happening right now, right here in Circle City?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's certainly a great time, for innovation. Obviously, the tech sector, right, is really driving a lot of that.
Yeah.
Not only in practice, but certainly awareness, right? I mean, how can it not be a great time for innovation when Salesforce is on the tallest tower in the city now? But I think that's bringing a lot of well-deserved attention to the city.
Mm-hmm.
But I think likewise, you're getting to see just a lot of the creative problem solvers, getting their time in the spotlight as well. I mentioned the zoo or, the cultural trail,
right?
I mean, we have some thought leadership in other areas, even in addition to, the tech sector, People for Urban Progress, just as innovative, right? Big Car.
Absolutely.
With what Jim Walker's doing down there and some of his placemaking initiatives. So, I think it's a great time for Indianapolis innovation. I think we have a lot of creativity in the city. I think we have a lot of creative solutions to a lot of problems out there that are taking place right here in our backyard.
I think that's the best thing, and you iterate it very well, is that there is, as much as there's a focus on the technical side of things, it's about innovation. It's non-denominational when it comes down to what vertical, what sector you're in, and you really need to have that level of full understanding of how to be innovative in your respective career paths, in your respective vocations. That's what you're epitomizing with the innovation summits that you have and the awards that you're providing, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And I'd say another important aspect of Indianapolis, I think kind of that sense that, yes, we're a big city, but we're still a small enough community that anyone can really connect with anyone here. So I think a lot of that, I really call it the serendipity that helps drive innovation, right? Those connections that we've seen, through some of our events or even just, through some of the other events, right? I mean, INX3 and Powder Keg and just these growing platforms. But when you can see, scientists at Lilly, starting to collaborate with musicians at the ISO, or these, some of the tech companies, obviously, starting to work with Speakeasy has,
right.
Working with Big Car now in this kind of arts and entrepreneurship, series. I think these are the collaborations and specifically these cross-sector collaborations that are only continuing to drive what's happening here.
Pushing a pause button on this, regarding what's happening out at Speakeasy, can you speak to, are you familiar with the Kenzie Academy that's coming in there on the third floor?
Yeah, I'm aware of it. I guess I haven't. I know I've even got a few kind of intro emails waiting to be read. But that little part about a conference I'm hosting next week. So
you are pretty much just blinders on right
he's
now.
Also, but, he's also not eating or sleeping right now.
right. except for bacon, but
yes.
But no, I have See? I have seen the headlines. I suppose. Yeah, I look forward to learning more.
Yeah, so. the coding academy coming downtown, and it's just fantastic to be able to see. It's not just a startup boot camp type of thing, but it's actually a full on 6-month, 2-year course down there.
Right.
Central, but again, it's not just about tech. And this is what we're talking about here. It's great to be able to demonstrate and see that type of innovation coming into downtown. Right. But we want to make sure that all the revenues, all the tracks of innovation are best represented. And that's what your group is doing on a regular basis. So let's talk about where the event's being held to begin with.
Yeah, so again, with yes, Day of Innovation, we are the campus of Butler University.
Cool.
So yeah, as far as parking, the Butler yes. has a new parking garage up there that we're certainly forwarding folks to. But I guess one thing, another little shout out to our hosts at Butler. I think one reason that the campus really plays well for a conference, we get the opportunity, looks like at least the early forecast now, another beautiful fall day in October. We get the chance to really, roaming conference that pops in and out of a couple different buildings. So, really some of those walking meetings that, talking about that serendipity mm-hmm. between sessions, but really getting to enjoy, beautiful Indiana fall weather and a beautiful campus in the middle of a beautiful city at the same time.
Go Dogs.
Yeah.
Absolutely. It is a beautiful campus, and kudos to them of really opening up these type mm-hmm. of summits and these conferences regularly, because it certainly is going to rub off on the, mm-hmm. the Butler students there as well. So, they can jump in and participate. So Absolutely. How do they get a hold of Centric Indy?
Yeah, so centricindy.org mm-hmm. is our site, and then daveinnovation.com as well for that initiative. But yeah, everything lives on centricindy.org. And I'd say we're really excited about, obviously getting past, doing Dave Innovation next week. Mm-hmm. But, I've talked about these workshops. We really have been Central Indiana heavy, over the course of our lifetime. But we had did a workshop up in the Gary area back in August, okay. and we're working on some workshops at Lafayette area, the Jeffersonville area. So moving into 2018, we're really excited about growing these monthly workshops and chances to connect and learn across the state. So definitely stay tuned for that.
Oh, absolutely. And keep us abreast of that, because we'll certainly give shout outs as those events are mm-hmm. are broadcast out. You're doing a great thing, Jason, and we need more players like yourself, not just going in their own innovation circuit, but actually showcasing and shouting from the rooftops, this is what Indiana's about. This is what Indianapolis is about.
Right.
We need, again, it's the Silicon Prairie concept, but the problem is, that's tech, sorry, moving away.
The basket bin.
See, I thought that was never going to come back and haunt me, but yeah, if you saw last week's show, literally.
He called Indiana a basket basin.
The intro was terrible. But it's about the fact that the Midwest does not proclaim its innovation nearly as much as other parts of the country. Yeah, we're humble by nature, and we need to be able to have that broadcast, that bullhorn out there regularly, right?
Yeah, so absolutely.
You're one of them, and it certainly is inspiring, and keep on doing the good work.
Yeah. Well, thank you.
Yeah.
We're excited. And I like to think of it, obviously, the crossroads of America. We like to view it as the crossroads of innovation.
There it is.
I think we're
I like that. A lot better than basket basins. That's
right.
For damn sure. We're also going to be out there. We're going to send some of our troops out there to be able to give some additional lift from the social media standpoint. We really love to be plugged into organizations and events like this. Yeah. So I appreciate the opportunity to be able to come out there.
Also, the coupon code to save is Edge of Indy. Is that right?
I believe that's right. Okay, I will double check. If it's not Edge of Indy, there will be an Edge of Indy code
okay.
as soon as I get back to behind a computer. But yeah, Edge of Indy. Yes.
Perfect.
And you can also follow Jason on his Twitter, Jawbrain. I love it.
Yeah.
I love it. Where'd Jawbrain come from?
Yeah, so I wish there was a long explanation for that. Jaw's my initials.
Okay.
And originally it was going to be Red Jaw, right? The red hair. And some guy in the UK had that. So Jawbrain was short, catchy, and available. So
there it is. That's, all right. Yeah. Well, follow Jawbrain and certainly jump into the innovation day of innovation coming up. That's October 12th, and also watch for the innovation awards and lift up the innovators that made those awards. They put forth a heck of a lot of energy, and they put their blood, sweat, and tears into these initiatives. So give love where love is due. All right, coming up. We're going to be talking to an individual that loves his cat a lot, evidently. We're going to be talking to Paul Poteet coming up right now.
Real life. Real stories. Let's see what's trending in Indianapolis. This is Paul Poteet on The Edge.
Oh,
the cat down.
Put the cat down. He looks really happy. Doesn't need to be here.
Baxter looks very uncomfortable.
It's okay, Baxter. Well, he was bouncing into now I have to do this for an hour and a half. He was bouncing into I'm having a Pet Pals flashback right now. He was bouncing against this microphone that I'm talking into. It's a lovely visual prop, but it's a real microphone too. So it's the microphone I'm using. So every time he rubs against it, you hear this. And it sounds like an old Western. Do you hear those drums? We're about to be attacked. So anyway, that's my Baxter.
We're going to blame Baxter on that. Wow. You're blaming the innocent cat for...
This was terrible.
Good
mistake.
Start.
Terrible mistake.
Do you need a moment, Paul?
What's that?
Do you need a moment? Somebody get him a lint brush.
You should always, if you go into a TV studio to make an appearance or whatever, and if you need a quick, smooshing, whatever, somebody should always, there's normally somebody who has the roller somewhere stashed away along with the 20 cans of hairspray and the 5 hairbrushes.
Did you call it smooshing?
In case you need, you got some smudge on your on your suit. Cat fur, whatever. It doesn't sound as good. Yeah. So anyway, how are you anyhow?
We are very good. Good to join you again this week.
Well, somewhere in the fog of
all the dander flowing up.
That's right. I hope you don't mind me sneezing through the rest of this segment.
No, we'll fix it in post. Yeah.
That's right. It's the internet. It doesn't matter. I found things on the edge, though, even though my cat was distracting me.
What's happening with Paul on the Edge? What are you looking at today?
Did you guys major in internet videos? Is that why we're all here
now? No. It's been a very, very long, strange trip, to be honest with you, why we're here.
Yeah, right. Well, I've been there, done that. Been there, done it all.
I can't believe I'm actually quoting Grateful Dead. I never liked the Grateful Dead whenever I was in college.
Does that mean that you'll be embarking on a 20-minute solo at some point during this segment? You'll just start doing the air guitar thing?
Exactly. About to bust out Inagata DeVita right now.
It's for our younger streamers right now, it's sort of the same as Fish. Okay, right. If you're wondering what is this Grateful Dead thing?
Oh, thank you for translating. I appreciate that.
That's right. I try to. But you were with us, weren't you, Brittany? When I said Fish, right?
Just now?
Yeah.
Yes, I was here, and I understand.
Okay. Do you know Grateful Dead?
Yes, I know Grateful Dead.
Oh, okay.
Paul, I'm not your average millennial. Okay, have some respect.
She's a mutant.
I am.
Do you know turf grass management?
Heck. Pardon? No.
But that guy doesn't know his turf grass from a molehole in the ground.
Wow. So what are you looking at here?
This is 10 things that you can actually major in that you probably shouldn't. Grass management.
Okay.
This is an actual management.
That's a vocation.
I mean, I imagine there's a lot of money in maybe owning, operating golf courses, things like that.
Right.
Especially in some areas around like where I live, where there seem to be 100 golf courses. But I don't know if the specialty of turf grass management in itself. It says there are options such as lawn management, athletic field management, golf course management.
But I specialize in turf grass.
You can also major in bagpipes.
Yes.
Carnegie Mellon. So
absolutely.
There is in 2009 there was exactly one graduating bagpipe major. In the year 2009.
Top of the class.
Nick Hudson made $1,000 playing in bars on St. Patrick's Day alone. Now, of course, the problem is with that business model, there's only one St. Patrick's Day every year,
But he's in demand that day.
I mean, if you know that the Gordon Pipers are your future, I guess maybe it wouldn't be such a bad deal. But how often do you hear bagpipe music in a public setting is the next question.
Honestly, I have it playing out of my office every day.
It's 50% of my Pandora. Okay,
exactly.
You can also major in Puppetry.
Oh, I saw that.
Puppetry.
Nothing creepy about little, that whatsoever.
Little sure. puppets. Like, does that creep you out a little bit? That's that little screenshot there.
Yep. Yep.
You know, making money in theater in show business is always dicey anyway. But if you just say, all right, it's only going to be puppetry for me or nothing else.
Wait, bakery science, go back.
Bakery science. Well, we went right past Canada. Canadian studies, you can, people in Canada don't even study Canada. I don't know why.
I like Canada. I'll go do that.
I don't know why you could major in it here, but yeah, bakery studies was another one. Well, people go to, you know, culinary school. I guess, now, again, this is if you really wanted to specialize, you can go into bakery studies. But what if you're on Atkins? Are you still allowed to do that?
No, actually, you can just look in fear and dread.
Yeah.
Now, however, the number three there is very interesting, and I think it goes underrated.
Bowling, are you talking about, or no, you're talking about winemaking?
Absolutely.
I want to do that.
I don't know, change my career path right now.
Can you send me back to school?
What is it they say? You know, if you love your job, you never work a day in your life, yeah. Right?
Exactly.
So if your job is making wine, of course, you have to be careful that your job doesn't overtake your life.
You will not wake up for your job if that's
Hello,
the case.
My name is Aaron. I'm a winemaker.
I just said that in the mirror.
Is college going is really necessary to make wine? Let me try this sentence again.
Have you been drinking?
Have you been taking classes at night?
Glasses or classes? Oh! There it is.
All you have to do is start talking about alcohol and I just suddenly lose sentence construction. So anyway, officers. Okay. Is going to college really necessary to make wine? Is the sentence that I was trying to get out there. Some colleges think so. Colleges actually call these programs enology, E-N-O-L-O-G-Y, which means the study of wine. Okay. And that's something you can take. Folklore and mythology. Again, I don't know if you... you know, major in that. What do you do with it? You know, that's the.
Oh, there's a Dionysus connection there for all of you mythos geeks. Hey, there we go.
You tied it right into one.
I did.
Good job.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, but the last one, the number one, you got to show the number one.
It's, you know, talk about whatever you want. Again, at some point, you have to ask yourself, why are you in school? I mean, what are you?
How did I get here?
What? Yeah, you won't believe how did I get into this position? So I don't know, if you want to spend thousands of dollars and be in debt for a few years.
If you want to spend your parents thousands of dollars. Let's call that reality right there.
Yeah, right. We struck a nerve there, didn't we?
Really? Yeah, exactly. I got a 17-year-old, by the way.
When you're young, you should concentrate on things like toys. I want to know, Aaron, did you have Barbies when you were growing up? Do you have Barbies now?
I plead the fifth.
Okay, Brittany.
I had a couple. I wasn't a big Barbie person.
I was trying to keep it gender neutral there. You know.
That was very good. Very PC.
But yeah, Barbie's one of those things that's been around forever. I remember my sister. I mean, this is a long time ago when I was a kid. I remember my sister had her, you know, in the sure. little plastic, you know, houses and the little cases you keep them in.
The Corvette was really cool.
Would you believe that Barbies are a big counterfeit item? Customs officials search people for Barbies.
These days, yes, I do.
$85,000 worth of counterfeit Barbies were seized at the Minnesota border crossing. There's your Canada study. These people are stealing our dolls.
And they're knockoff dolls. Look
yeah,
at
they're
that.
Not even really.
That's not Barbie.
Yeah, they are. Could you tell that just from looking on the outside?
Yes.
How?
I majored in Barbie in college.
We weren't going to bring attention to that, but wow, 3,000 toys.
Smuggled Barbies. Of course, smuggled Ken sold separately.
Also Skipper.
85 there. Which one was Skipper?
The sister.
Skipper was the sister?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Barbie's sister, Skipper. The fun one.
And what did you think?
She studied winemaking.
Yeah. Did you think Ken was good looking, or was the lack of? of...
Next story.
Gotta go.
You'd always feel superior to Ken if you were a guy who, was growing up back. So that's the story of Barbie. The perps, of course, sent to the Malibu Barbie Big House. Which is also sold separately. Now, we've had a creepy, screen grab or two already. I thought that puppet thing was a little off-putting myself. This also makes me a little queasy. A shot of a motorcycle rider who is wearing a panda mask, helmet, whatever. This is real.
Okay. And a suit. Yeah, there's a suit as well here.
Yeah, right. He's wearing the mask and the entire suit. A concerned motorist, as you see there from Minnesota. We like to vary it, not have every week be Florida and Colorado. So the second story from Minnesota, concerned motorist called 911 to report on this rider. They were concerned about his vision being obstructed. Forget about his vision. You look up and you talk about distracted drivers. And if you see that suddenly off to your right, first of all, you'd check for Rod Sterling. Is this a Twilight Zone episode I'm in now where nobody else sees this, but I do? And so they were able to pull over the driver, I guess the second time around. I think I read that this happened more than once. It was earlier in the summer. And he exited the highway before the troopers got a hold of him.
Oh, wow.
We're looking for a panda.
Panda van.
But they were monitoring traffic cameras later in the summer, August 31st, spotted him again. He came back out again, and troopers were able to catch up. He said the suit was intended to help the motorcycle video go viral. This guy was doing it on purpose to do what happened, I guess.
So you can say that they barely caught him, right? But they finally called out the black and whites.
Let me just get it a light tap. Ready?
Yeah, not too much.
Just a mute.
That was a twofer.
Just a little light tap and then a quick muting of it afterwards that it doesn't. he's cited for reckless driving. The panda head was confiscated.
Dun, dun, dun. Dun, dun, dun. Wow.
Yeah, impounded. So we have two. We have two cute, sort of. I mean, that was creepy, I guess. But we have another animal, thing that's for real. And this is just, if you need a little peaceful moment. We've had a lot of bad news lately, in the world. So if you want to just be happy, Google dolphins watching squirrels.
Watch this.
Squirrels for real. Dolphins are just like humans. They get any. Any sight of squirrels.
Exactly. Look at that.
That is so weird.
Now
they're like, what in the world?
I'm wondering if they're hungry.
And if they had taken the right classes in college, they'd know what kind of wine goes with squirrel. Let me call some of my relatives in Kentucky. But seriously.
Hey, squirrel's not bad.
Yeah. If you had that, I know you're an outdoorsman.
It's a little bit gamey, but a good Mad Dog 2020 goes with that.
The fifth Mike's Hard Lemonade goes really well with that. That point when you say, that sounds like fun.
It tastes like chicken.
Give me some squirrel and bring me that panda head, too, while you're at it.
See, it's an entire night of fun.
Yeah, right. I want to go for a ride. But, so those are some of the weird and wacky things over right on the edge of the internet.
Thank you. Thank you for that squirrel zen moment, Paul. I really appreciate it.
I feel so much better.
Dolphins are adorable. I did for a while. I was like the voice of the dolphin show at the Indianapolis Zoo, and I heard more about that than anything else, because people are always in a good mood by the end of the dolphin show.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So how's our mood going to be this week weather wise?
Well, you'd think, a couple of days of rain, everybody'd be all sad, but we're so dry, and people have been crying for rain, and so no longer will only your tears moisten your turf. And I did not take any classes in turf management So I don't know for sure, but I think you'd rather have rain, which we have in the 7-day forecast a couple of different times. Wednesday, we've had it around, obviously, today. Kept us out of the 80s. Today, we were like 84 degrees yesterday in your pumpkin spice parade of warm days. We have showers at times again on Thursday, maybe into Friday morning. Looks like we'll get a break Friday night and Saturday morning. They'll be back again Saturday afternoon, maybe a little break Saturday night, and then again on Sunday. And one more round of showers, possibly Monday morning, cold front Tuesday, and closer to normal temperatures then. 70 is the normal right now. So all of those days are above average, but it looks like we'll go back to normal, maybe a little below normal by the middle of next week. Although the month as an entirety, the month of October looks like it's going to be above average for us.
Like in a lot. Central India. Not a lot, though.
Not necessarily a lot. And okay. Above average in October could mean like that, highs in the low 70s, mid 70s, which would be okay. You know, that snow could be flying by trick or treat time, so that's okay.
Yeah, no, we actually camped out this weekend with the Boy Scouts, and it was such a beautiful weekend for camping.
This past weekend was nice. Boy, you're lucky it wasn't the weekend before when it was all hot and muggy, and you can smell the squirrels cooking, you know, like 10 miles away. You want it a little bit cooler when you're putting the game on the grill.
I don't know. I was cooking that right in front of me, so I couldn't really get away from the smell.
You know what I say? Don't hate the gamey meat. Hate the playa. So,
oh, wow.
Something like that.
It's backward, but I'll accept it.
Amazing. Well, Paul, you always bring the best to the show. I appreciate it regularly. Hey, we want to make sure that our listeners and watchers know how to get a hold of you to make sure that we blame you for the stories coming up.
Always find me online. Me and Baxter are working in the studio 24/7, generating content for you. It's Paul Poteet, PoteeT.com. Or if you forget how to spell my name, just type in My Huge Radar, and that'll actually get you to me, too. I don't know how it works. MyHugeRadar.com.
Does Baxter have... I'm just going to move past that. Does Baxter have a Twitter account? Because we want to have more Baxter, man. Need more Baxter.
No, he's long gone. Cats, they don't like the limelight for some reason.
No.
Again, pets and kids. Next time I'll hold up my grandsons, I get about the same result to be like a juggling act. And then I'd have stuff on my suit. But you know.
Oh, boy.
Wouldn't be as easy to wipe off.
All right. With that, viewers and listeners, that is Paul Poteet on the edge. And literally so. I mean, I demonstrably so.
clearly.
All right. So thanks so much, Paul. And we'll be checking in with you next week.
Thank you,
all
Paul.
Right, see you soon.
Thanks. Bye. Have a good weekend.
This is Edge of Indy, showcasing Indianapolis tech trends, marketing industry champions, and business innovation. Broadcasting from Edge Media Studios. Now, let's get back to today's topic.
As we say bye to Baxter, we want to say hi to Ken Koski. He's the director of tourism for Journey Johnson County. Sir, how are you doing today?
Excellent. Thanks for having me.
You are more than welcome. Hey, Ken, welcome to the show. You come to us from just south of Indianapolis in Johnson County, also home of great places like Bargersville, Edinburgh, Franklin, Greenwood, and more. So tell us about Johnson County and the fine people that live and work down there.
Well, Johnson County, this is our first year of having a tourism bureau. So really, there's always been a lot of great things to do in Johnson County, but I think it's been the best kept secret. So we've got a great craft brew scene, a winery, Mallow Run, that's excellent, not only for wine, but they have a concert series every summer.
He knows who he's talking to, doesn't he?
He has my attention.
Okay, I had you at wine and craft brew.
That's right.
Yep.
But what we're really known for is our events. Mm-hmm. So any weekend that you come down, there's always a festival or two and a lot of just great things happening. So we get a lot of people from Indianapolis, north of Indianapolis. And today I hope to tell you a little bit about some of the great things that you can do there.
Fantastic.
Well, and autumn is like the perfect time to go, like take a little day trip, drive a little ways, go do an event, go do a festival, go drink some beer, and then, you know, sober up and then go home. Like, I can't imagine a better time than fall. So I know you all have a lot on your schedule, and I'm excited to talk about some of these events because my husband and I love little fall outings. Like, it's the best time of year to do that because it's not sweltering hot. It's not super cold. It's just perfect weather. I mean, why not?
Absolutely. Fall is my favorite season. So I mentioned the winery. We also have Apple Works. You can go and get apples, but also they make every apple treat that you could ever imagine. Dumplings, pie, caramel apples.
Whoa. All the apple things.
Oh, yeah. And they have live music.
Do they have the
weekend.
New Mac watch? No.
I'll have to check and get back to you on that one.
Sorry.
Geek joke.
Keep on going.
But there's also nature areas where you can walk. So the fall leaves are coming early this year. So get out by mid to late October. Yeah. You know, get your fall walk in, fall drive. Southern Johnson County abuts Brown County. Mm-hmm. So if you have been going to Brown County for the leaves, yep. and you don't want to drive quite as far from Indy, just stop and hang out with us.
Or do both.
Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, do both.
So let's talk about some of the events and festivals that you have coming up here.
Yeah, so this weekend we have an antique fall festival at Pump House Antiques. We also have at the Franklin Performing Arts Center the Hitmen. So this is a group of musicians that performed with Elton John, Carly Simon, just an array of artists. And what they do is they were musicians or backup singers, and they'll come and they'll perform all those favorites that you like, but they'll also tell great stories from behind the scenes.
Oh, very cool.
And you can imagine touring for 5, 10, 20 years with some of these artists.
They've got some dirt.
The stories kind of back up. So all the events that that I'll be talking about, you can find them at our website, journeyjohnsoncounty.com, and we've currently have over 100 events on there. So,
wow.
You know, always something to do.
Your team does a phenomenal job on social media. I know you've got a hashtag campaign going right now for hashtag JourneyJoco. Can you tell us more about that and how engaged you feel like your residents, you know, the residents of Johnson County really are online?
Well, the funny thing about that is we just started that a few months ago, and it's really catching on. We posted on our website the top 10 selfie spots. So one of them is the Ben Franklin bench statue mm-hmm. at Franklin College. Another is the world's largest rocking chair that sits outside.
Seen it?
Yeah.
So I haven't seen that.
I haven't seen it.
So what we do is if you use the hashtag JourneyJoco, J-O-C-O, it aggregates to the main page of our website, so people will get a picture of themselves with a giant chair or at Art Craft Theater mm-hmm. or anywhere, and they'll use that hashtag, and then it shows up, and it kind of tells the story of our destination so that we don't have to. We have hundreds of people out there
sure.
enjoying their time and then sharing it with us.
See, that's part of, and obviously as practitioners of digital marketing, as we consult with our clients, part of the engagement has to be the consumer advocacy, the brand loyalist, for lack of a better description. And you have an entire community that is right there wanting to show their pride in Johnson County and living and working there. So you're giving them a platform to be able to really share. And how has that awareness spread and understanding that now Johnson County is really paying attention to everybody who loves that area of the state?
Well, absolutely. What you do for your clients is very important because you can have a great product, but if nobody knows about it, there's really no point in having it.
Yep.
So we have, like I said, great product, festivals, events, dining, bed and breakfast. You know, it's a great place. And if we can engage people to post it on their social media and share it, then the 200, 500 people that know them will see it. They'll come experience it. They'll share it to their 400, 600. And it really spreads that way. So, things have changed. And if you don't promote yourself in the way that especially the millennials have come to expect, you're not going to get the visitors.
No, you are absolutely right. The entire millennial concept of being digital native, right, is a little. There's a little bit larger aperture of just understanding that there's an immersion process that's happening with all different age groups, and they're getting more and more acclimated, and their sea legs are starting to strengthen up inside of new media, and that's what you're doing is you're actually reaching more demographic age brackets than just those millennials. And what's happening here is that counties all across the state should be taking your lead and understanding what they have to give back what they should be giving back to everyone who is working there, who is living in their respective counties. So have you been able to provide any additional leadership or counsel or guidance to other counties here in the state?
Well, we're the new kids on the block. As I said, our tourism operation has only been really in full force since April.
Sure.
So what we did was we learned a lot, actually, from some of the other tourism agencies in Indiana.
Okay.
And we're kind of taking their lead and doing some of the best practices to make sure that Johnson County, south of Indy, is really on people's radar. But what we find is that we can take that and go to our partners. So some of the small restaurants, the mom-and-pop stores that are really good at providing food and shopping and what they do, they might not be media savvy or social media savvy. Mm-hmm. So as I make my rounds, I try to let them know, hey, use the hashtag. It'll appear on our website, like our page on social media. Let's get the interaction and the conversation going. And from the standpoint of really engaging with people that visit our website, in addition to having the social media aggregating it on the website, we've also started the process of putting Yelp and TripAdvisor links with each listing. Right. So what we find is the visitor, they trust what we say, but they trust what the public says even more.
Yep.
So you give them both, and it really tells the full story of your individual businesses and your destination as a whole.
Oh, that's fantastic. Speaking of a destination, in Whiteland, you've got Kelsey Farms. You've got the quintessential fall outing. Can you describe that fall outing? Because that one really took us aback.
Well, it's wonderful. If you haven't been to Kelsey Farms, they're open 4 weekends from late September to late October. So it's a fall tradition for many families. They come year after year. So you have, of course, the corn maze where, should I admit that I always get lost in it? And
it's a big honking maze.
Okay. So it's not just me?
No.
Okay.
It's scary as well.
And then they have the straw bale mountains. So they get the giant, not just the little bales of straw, the giant ones, and stack them in a mountain. And the kids really love playing in that.
Yep, yep.
And then they
small grown-ups.
I may have been seen there. I might have seen you there. And then they fill a barn with the dry corn grain, and the kids can play in it like a sandbox, but cleaner and nicer. And then they have, it's a working dairy farm, so they're known for their milkshakes. So if you go, you have to definitely enjoy that as well. But you can go for the day, or you can buy a season pass, because a lot of people, hey, every weekend in the fall, let's, do the maze, bring, some more of our friends and family. So
maybe we can find one of the relatives that we left there. And
I encourage you to go each week to find me. If I've been lost all week, you can, get
please,
me out.
Please, bring me some breadcrumbs, or at least an apple treat.
Yeah, just bring me an apple treat. I'll stay in there. That's
Would
fine.
You like to make your milkshake joke? He mentioned milkshakes.
No.
Are you sure?
I don't want to mention my milkshake. Brings all the
Johnson
County
boys to the yard.
You told me before the show to bring that up. Now you're pretending like
I don't know what you're talking about, kid.
Move on.
Wow. So really,
all the Johnson County boys to the yard.
Fantastic, Brittany.
Bring them.
What about B&Bs? Let's talk about some B&Bs there.
Yeah, from my standpoint, when I'm traveling, you can go one of two ways. Mm-hmm. The modern hotel with the pool and the workout center, which is great sometimes.
They got bacon there. They got bacon there. They're all right.
But I also like the B&B experience because, it's unique. The owners are on site, and they not only give you a unique experience while you're staying there and a great breakfast that's that goes beyond just the usual buffet, but they also can tell you about the community. Go to these restaurants, go to these attractions, be sure to go to the downtown, ask for this guy, or if you're going to this restaurant, be sure to get that appetizer. So I think that you can really, if you're traveling, you can get a more authentic experience.
That's something I've never done. As a
really?
Bed and breakfast. No, I know that's always. I've never been to a spa, and I've never been to a B&B.
JourneyJohnsonCounty.com. check it out. You and the family need to get away.
I might do that.
Those are awesome. And especially if you have kids, this is someplace where you can leave your kids at home and then go to the bed and breakfast, right?
Yeah, and we're lucky to have two great ones, the Ashley Drake Historic Inn.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
You know, it's a great location, and it's got a very peaceful garden, and the owners of that also own Hoosier Cupboard. It's an ice cream and sweets place. So you can get a great night's sleep and also go down the street for some sweets. And then we've got the Flying Frog Bed and Breakfast, which is, you know, a really nice place. It's got a big front porch on the main level and the upper level. And a lot of times people just grab a bottle of wine and enjoy the porch and watch the world go by.
Can I push pause here and tell Paul Poteet to stop asking me about my milkshakes? I'm just going to say that. He just jumped in on the stream.
Quote, let's hear more about Aaron's milkshakes.
He's a very bad man.
Well, I was going to tell you next about Mrs. Curl's ice cream shop.
Please,
and they,
yes.
What do they serve there?
Milkshakes.
Oh, you're killing me. Actually, Mrs. Curl's is fantastic. And it is an anchor, an edifice for Main Street, downtown Johnson County. That's awesome.
Yeah, and they've been named best soft serve or best ice cream in Indiana this year. So it's just a local institution. And actually, they're moving to a bigger location where they can be open year-round. So
Mrs. Curl
fans can
really,
you know, be excited about that.
Now, you don't have you been to Mrs. Curl? Do you know? Okay, this is a little tiny walk-up ice cream shop, right? And there are lines that literally go around the building on summer days. It's just fantastic. And I mean, it's a place to go after your baseball games or after your Cub Scouts. I mean, they're
just on a random Tuesday.
Or just on a random milkshake Tuesday. Absolutely.
Now, I've noticed how hard Brittany works, and and what I'm noticing, though, is that maybe she works too much. She hasn't got out enough. A lot of the things that I'm suggesting, she hasn't had a chance. So would a day off be possible?
You know, I was thinking also maybe possibly doing an excursion with Edge of Indy down in Johnson County and going to some of these spaces and doing a little bit of live broadcast at these events.
And then I'll stay at the B&B and they can come home.
Now that's a plan.
So, Paul Poteet, not to give him any more accolades here, but he just informed us that we should be prepared for some on-again, off-again rain in the next 7 days. What activities and destinations are rainy day friendly there in Johnson County?
Well, we're home to some great shopping at Greenwood Park Mall. You know, people come from
mall.
Yeah.
Good
it's
mall.
Got all the great stores. So, and just outside of our county, but is the Edinburgh Prime Outlets, you know, so it's a discount mall.
Yep. Also a good mall.
Yes, excellent. Yep. And then we're really known for the Art Craft Theater. Hmm. So this is a theater from the 1920s. So remember when going to a movie was an awesome experience?
Yes. Star Wars.
Yes. So this recreates it. It's a great setting, and they don't just turn the projector on and show you the movie. There's a lot of interaction. The staff does fun things.
Oh, cool.
If it's a kid's movie, sometimes they'll dress up in character or do, you know, interesting things like that. So if you've never been to the Art Craft, you know, bring $5. Yeah. That's all it is.
Wow.
Bring $5, show up and enjoy
interaction with the Rocky Horror Picture Show. Wait a minute. That's a different type of interaction. Never mind. Move on.
It's the same general thing. So.
Sorry, I had to get that in there.
Is that on the internet?
No, it's
no?
not.
Okay.
It's been expunged from all the annals of documentation. I kid you not. Ken is fantastic, and it's great to be able to talk to director of tourism in a county that's surrounding ours. There's certainly some great other counties around that are doing the same thing, but we want to really showcase movers and shakers and just be able to give some kudos to organizations that are really doing the good work to be able to showcase these local businesses, these local entrepreneurs, because they don't get enough exposure in the limelight. Even with the mainstream media inside of Indianapolis, there's a lot that just goes unstated, right?
Oh, yeah, definitely. You know, I work in Johnson County, and I love all the restaurants that I've been experiencing and all the attractions. But I love to go to Indy, you know, one weekend or go up north to Zionsville, and, you know, I have some family there. But by the same token, we encourage people from, you know, Indy's north suburbs and Indianapolis itself to come down. And you'll notice when you're taking the expressway, that the traffic starts to thin out a little bit when you get out of Indy. And it's a really peaceful, relaxing time. And there's some great nature areas. If you go to our website, journeyjohnsoncounty.com, and click on outdoor recreation, you know, we've got Camp Atterbury. That was a lot of that land has been preserved as the Atterbury Fish and Wildlife Area. So, you know, you can go for a hike or just walk around and enjoy nature.
I've taken Cub Scouts down to Camp Atterbury, and I go shooting on that range all the time, and it is a fantastic range down there as well.
Yeah, so it's just a great experience. You know, we talked about the winery and the apple orchards and some of the things like that. It's really a different experience than you can get in the city, a little more spacious and, you know, a little more relaxing, I think.
Fantastic. All right. Well, so you got to check out journeyjohnsoncounty.com. And you should also watch on all the socials, Fest, F-E-S-T, Country, I-N, on Twitter, and Fest Country, I-N, on Instagram. And check out Fest Country, F-E-S-T, Country, I-N, on Facebook. Final thoughts for entrepreneurs and individuals in Johnson County? What should they be doing, or how can they best set themselves apart to be noticed in Johnson County?
Well, we just had an expert come in, and he said it's the little things that not only visitors but residents notice. Mm-hmm. So, if you have a downtown business, invest in planters and put some flowers out there, or a table with a patio umbrella, just something like that. People drive by. And they stop. They see that, and it's more inviting. And the same with customer service. We're working with our partners on customer service. So they are the front line, whether they're dealing with our visitors or the residents. And if you give them a positive experience, they'll come back time and time again. So it's just the little things that that go a long way and make a big difference.
Fantastic. Very well said. So we're certainly intrigued about what to do down in Johnson County this year, or this fall. So we may make an excursion out there. So we got to arrange some schedules and figure out what we can do. Thank you for coming in and sharing with us. You certainly demonstrate a passion for the local businesses there. And keep up the good work, please.
And you do the same. And thanks for having me.
You're more than welcome. All right. So that's a wrap on today's Edge of Indy. We certainly appreciate all the concepts of innovation as it applies to the non-tech sector. There's so much that's going on inside of Indianapolis and Indiana regarding innovation, as well as innovation in tourism and showcasing local businesses from around the state. So kudos to our guests. Keep up the good work regularly, and make sure that you share this stream to the audiences that need to know about Johnson County, need to know about the Innovation Awards, the Innovation Summit coming up. All this is happening right at your back door. So check out what's happening in Indianapolis and Indiana regularly. So for Brittany and myself, say I literally can speak for myself, so I'm going to do it, actually. Goodbye from Edge of Indy, and we'll talk to you real soon. Bye-bye. See you next week.